again. All is well. Amen, Lord. Indeed it is. All is well. I have heard His message alone, and all is well. Amen. There is a place of perfect rest behind the gracious Lord, those indeed are encouraging words. And truly, Lord, those are your words spoken to us tonight. And not only tonight, Lord, but just all through the day. Just as long as we keep our eyes on Thee, Lord. We know, Lord, that You're mindful of us. We know, Lord, that every detail of our lives, Lord, is laid out. And we can make our lives sublime, following that still small voice and walking according to Your perfect word, Lord, that You've laid out, Father, which we can't do ourselves. But if we lean on Thee and if we follow Your Spirit, O God, Lord, You are the great captain of our ship, and that You would bring us over every wave. We have nothing to fear. And so, Lord, we're so grateful for that tonight. And so, Lord, I just pray You bless all the people that are here who ventured out tonight on this night of all nights. And those, Lord, who are at home, Father, we just ask, Lord, that Your blessings be upon each one and upon us, O God. We don't claim anything of ourselves. We're wholly dependent upon Thee, both speaker and listener, Lord. Our eyes are on You, Father. Just glorify Yourself tonight. We pray. We ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Lord bless you all. There's more tonight than I expected. I'll be very honest. I was kind of hitting my wife a little bit. I says, wouldn't that be something? You know, we show up and we'd be preaching to the four posts. It looks a little snowier up where we are, you know, than it is down here. So God bless you all. You ventured forth. Amen. Richly bless you. If you would you grab your Bibles? And if you'd open them to Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we, 4:18 states this, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, this is Your word. Just break to us the bread of life. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Sister Linnell, happy birthday. Just thought I would say that. Little nice lady over there. And appreciate our sister so much. Amen. God is good. He's good to all of us. Each one is special. I'd like to add a couple more verses with this. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, if you care to turn there. This goes along with this thought. Brother Don was ministering on this Sunday. And just such a wonderful, wonderful thought. And I just sensed the Spirit of God just lifting us up into the heavenlies, you know. And then the Lord If he gives us that wind, we just set our wings and just keep rising up, rising up, rising up as high as it'll bring us. Whatever grace that he's given us thus far, we'll take it, we'll walk in it. Amen. And we just pay attention to things like that. I believe the Lord will bless us, establish us, and just raise us higher. Amen. 11:1 states this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Not seen. Okay? Through faith, we understand that the worlds, that's verse 3 now, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let me read another translation. This one says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things." I'm sorry, let me... I read the same verse. Hold on. This, here it is. "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen did not come from anything visible." Right? You know, so, you know, somebody was telling Brother Branham, he said, "You know, don't talk to me about stuff like that. I can't believe anything that I don't see. Anything that I don't see is not real." When just the opposite is true, right? Everything that we see here in this life right now, kids, believe it or not, is shadows. You would not believe what you look like over on the other side. You would not believe what the other side looked like. I can't even tell you myself. I haven't seen it. But by faith, and we've heard people who have seen it with incredible eyewitness accounts, above anything that they could describe. They did the best that they could. But everyone who's seen it over on the other side, not one of them wanted to come back. Even sinners who have had the opportunity to have that out-of-death, out-of-body experience, you know, when they get up there and then the Lord Jesus in His grace shows Himself to them, and them denying Him all of a while and finding out that He is real and that heaven is real and hell is real, they didn't want to go back. But He said, "Uh-uh, you're not ready to come. Now you know. Now go back and tell." They died atheists, but they came back converted Christians. Amen? God's Word is true. So it's true. Everything that we see with our eyes is made by that which is not seen. And everything that we see move with our eyes is controlled by that which is not seen. So you're under control of every person you see. There's only two powers in this world, right? Only two powers. There's God and there's Satan. And so every person on this world is controlled by one or the other, or influenced by one or the other. And it's as simple as that. Amen? Amen? I just want to lay one more thing in here if I can. Because you see, God has got a plan. He doesn't do anything without purpose. Everything is, there is no shadow or turning with Him. There's no variableness. He is unchangeable. The Bible tells us He's immutable in all His ways. And so when He makes something, it's for a purpose, right? Amen? And He made us for a purpose. And Brother Branham makes a statement in proving His Word, 243, if you want to follow along or write it down. He says, "But I do know this, that God is here, and I know that He has given something to us that we cannot explain it. Only by the Word of God claims that it should be here at this time, so it also gives us identification to know that we're in the last days." So not only does the Lord have a word, He's got a word for our day, right? And He's got a purpose in the word that He has. And the fact then, He goes on to say, it gives us identification to know that this people, this chosen, elected, called out predestinated. And what are we predestinated to? We are predestinated to His Word. We're predestinated to this Word. And the fact that you see this Word gives you identification. You see the Word and something is echoing back to you. You see who you are, right? You get that identification that says you are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are an eagle. You are ordained not down here to be earthbound, but you're to be in the heavenlies. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm going to say a bunch of things here that you've heard before, okay? But you know something? There's a lot of kids, you know, they're sitting out there, they sit and they just try to just zone out, right? Be quite frank, you know, they just zone out, they don't really listen and anything like that. And then I hear it a little bit at home. Oh, we just need to slow down. We need to lay down the foundational things again. Things that we take for granted, right? There's a lot of kids, you know, who are raised up in our homes. And the things, you know, you think that they know these things. But they don't. They were sitting there. These words are going forth. And they weren't paying attention. You know? But the truth is, the Lord is calling every one of us to Himself. Every child, every adult, every person. Amen? So, kids, what do we know? What we just said here tonight. Number one, all right, first in the beginning was God. God created all things. That which we don't see was framed. I'm sorry, that which we see was framed by that which we don't. Right? Number one. Number two, I just made that statement. People, things are visible, are controlled by that which is invisible. And there's only two powers, we just went over that, God or the devil. So people are controlled or influenced by one or the other. Here's another principle, another rule. Satan can only go so far, only so far as the Lord will allow. Right? Satan's devices will ultimately fail. Keep that in mind. His devices will ultimately fail. Doesn't matter how big those giants look. Doesn't matter how much the sabers are rattling. His devices will ultimately fail. Another principle. God has given His Word to protect His people. That is a thing that they need to stand behind. Okay? As long as they are behind the Word, Satan can't touch them. As long as you are standing behind the Word of God, God's Word will not fail. Amen. Eve was protected by Satan's lie as long as she stood behind the Word. But when the serpent came along, Satan being in the serpent, and he said, "Thou shalt surely not die," the moment that Eve stopped to consider that word that was contrary to God's word, now think about that. If you hear God's word and you stop a moment to consider that, well, maybe it's not right, that's right there, it opens up for Satan to come on in. And he pierced her through with a dart. That poison dart, she believed Satan's lie. I'm sorry, I don't mean to move slow. I'm trying to get along here. We'll do a little better. As soon as that happened, God's veil of righteousness left her. She shared with Adam, who took her back because she was part of him, and then the veil of holiness departed from him. Okay? Then they realized they were naked. And that's how it was. And because he realized he was naked, he felt unworthy to come into the presence of God. And he hid himself. That's what sin does to us. It causes us to want to hide our face from the Lord. It causes us to where we don't feel good at all to get into the presence of God. It makes us ashamed, you know. And that's what Satan has set out to do. He wants to break that fellowship. That's what Satan is all about. He wants to break the fellowship between God and his children. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. So when we're behind the Word of God, we are protected. When we're behind His Word, we have His provision. What do I mean by provision? Anything that we have need of, He provides. Amen? Food, raiment, amen? Shelter, our health, He provides everything. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." All that we have need of is provided by Christ. Hudson Taylor made this one statement one time, and his whole ministry was based around this. He said that God's will done God's way never lacks His provision. Think about that. Anything that God tells you to do, He will also provide for you. Amen. So we must just stay in the will of God. Amen. And it is His desire for us to be in His will. And He will keep us in His will if we put our trust in the Lord. And that's the thing. Putting our total trust in the Lord. And here's the point. God protects His Word. Heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or one tittle shall pass away, shall fail. And the Bible also says that God will destroy those that destroy the earth. Think about that. We see a lot of things going on, horrible, horrible, horrible things going on in this earth right now, making it uninhabitable, making our food unedible. But you want to know something? They have a comeuppance, right? Right? They're doing horrible things to the fields. Just terrible. They're just putting stuff up in the sky. It's falling down in the soils. All the aluminum and things like that. They got this fake PCR test. It's fake, guys. I can explain it to you, but I won't right now. They're using that to say, oh, this chicken here has got this bird flu here. Wipe them out. Kill them. Now you're getting rid of good meat. Okay? Now we're going to inject them with the same terrible shot, which Pfizer, by the way, is getting a lawsuit of over $1 trillion for that bioweapon that they've created. The whole thing is Satan is trying to destroy our whole food structure. But you want to know something? Listen, when you're behind the Word of God, you are protected. We've got a principle in the Word of God. Do you remember that one time in the school of the prophets? Amen. I just want to break forth and minister. I want to preach. Lift me up, would you? Would you? Amen. Thank you, Brother Derek. The school of the prophet. They said that there's death in the pot. There's death in the pot, right? And so what did they do? They called Elisha over there, and he took the meal, and he sprinkled it in there. And all that poison and everything left, and they could eat. Amen. The Lord provides. He watches over us. And everything, so then what is the word then? What then do we know? Do the best you can, and whatever is put before you, you pray over it, right? You pray over it, and you eat by faith. God is going to watch over you. He's going to protect you. Amen? Amen? And don't do anything outside of faith. May our faith just increase more and more until the day. And that's what He wants us to do. He wants our faith to increase. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Amen. So, this sermon tonight, what I want to speak about is keeping focus. Focus your eye on the unseen. That sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? Focus your eye on the unseen. How do you do that? Well, obviously we're not talking about this eye right here. We're talking about that eye of faith, right? Amen? And Jesus said, if our eye be single, our whole body shall be full of light. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, for faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You cannot be a Christian and have to see the thing. The whole armor of God is supernatural. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and Holy Ghost. It's all unseen. And the Christian doesn't look to what he sees with his eyes. He looks to what he sees with his faith. And his faith can only be based upon one thing. What is it? What is it based on? Faith is based on one thing. To look at one thing, what do they look to? The Word. Right? The Word. Amen. And so what he sees then, that's what he sees with his faith. And his faith can only be based upon one thing. That's the Word. Amen. Now I feel like a shouting Baptist. Yes, sir. When you get to that Word, that's the living thing. That's the Word. When your mind and eyes can be single to that Word and focus that till you see exactly what God is doing, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you stay right there, then you're not tossed about with the winds of doctrine, carried about from place to place, pillar to pillar. All right, you settle down. Your eyes are single. When you know where you stand because you've been zeroed in with God, you see your own life hitting that target just like those apostles did. You live the way they did. You were baptized the way they were. You see the same results they seen. You see it operating in you. You are zeroed. And I don't care what the company says or what the denomination say, you are zeroed because you know that you're hitting the target. Amen. Then you know where you are standing depends on what you're looking at. So you need to look at the Word of God, our eyes being zeroed. Amen. We keep our focus on what the Lord is telling us. Amen. And we don't be dissuaded from, thus saith the Lord. And if you're looking to someone else, you'll go anyway. Any little puff of wind will blow you off the target, but oh, you can't be blown off the target when you're zeroed in. That's all. There's nothing going to stop it. God carries it to, like David's little rock in the sling, it went right straight to the destination, that predestinated rock. You think that was David's accuracy that planted that rock right exactly where it needed to go? That was a predestinated, supernatural rock being tossed. Amen? Praise the Lord. So will your prayers go straight to its destination, because it's offered in the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses you. Keep in mind, it's not you. Amen. There's not a sin or spot on you nowhere. Don't you like that? I do. That's right. There can't be. As long as that Clorox is between me and God, how is he going to see my sin? How can he do it? See, he can't. Amen? Because he won't. Amen? Now here's another clue. If God can get you to look at yourself, you know, either thinking you're a pretty good fellow, right? You know, you're walking with the Lord, you're feeling like, oh my, you know, I'm pretty righteous here. Or he can get you to focus on your shortcomings and your mistakes. In either way, Satan will trip you up. In either condition, if you have your eyes on yourself whatsoever, good or bad, he'll trip you up. See? You've got to keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ and his righteousness. See? That's where our focus is on him. He's our substitute. He took our place so that we could stand in his very righteousness. Amen? Now, the parable of the sower, to talk about that just a little while. I'll try not to hold you very long. I know, who knows what the weather's going to do. It's a Wednesday night. But the parable of the sower, there's such a good thing. There's so much right there. I mean, you could preach a whole sermon on just this right here. There's so much in it. And the part of the sower we're talking about is where he sowed it in different types of soil. Okay? Now, in that parable, you notice there wasn't anything wrong with the seed. It was all the same seed, but it depended on the soil that seed went into that determined what the results was. And our Lord, His beautiful pictures that He does when He illustrates things. And I'd like to say something. You know how it talks about in the Word of God, and it goes through a litany of all kinds of manners of sins, right? And how these will not inherit eternal life. And such were some of you, right? We were there. We lived in those realms that to stay there, you will not inherit eternal life. But for the grace of Almighty God to come along with His mercy and shine His light across our path to show us how that Christ died on the cross for us, moreover, that we are sons of God. He's got the answer to the devil's question. Amen. What is that answer? That price has been paid. No, it's not what they've done. Yeah. It's what I've done for them. Amen. It's because of what He did. We live. Amen. I'm so grateful for that. We have the answer to the devil's question. And because of that, we were that once upon a time, but we were delivered from that. So no matter how deep a pit the Lord had to reach down to get us, it didn't make any difference. He was reaching down to get one of His seed, one of His kids, and get him out of there, right? To show Him Himself and to show Him what He was really ordained to. He wasn't this ordained to this disfigurement that Satan had in mind for Him. No. He's a pure son, a pure daughter of God, made to stand in the righteous robes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, approaching it that same way, if you follow my thinking, we're talking about four different types of soil. So if you want to follow along with me, Matthew chapter 13, that's where we're reading. Verse 18, he told them the parables, and the disciples asked Him, He says, why do you speak in parables? He says, because unto you is given to know the mysteries of God, but not to them. Okay? So He went along and He explained what these parables were. And they, all of them, probably could have identified themselves somewhere here in this soil, somewhere along the line, in their own lives, but for the grace of God. And they were given to know the mysteries of God. And they say, ah, I see it. Okay? Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone beareth the word of the kingdom, heareth the word of the kingdom, excuse me. Let me get my glasses out. Sorry, guys. It'll make it easier on you. And me. Amen. Anyone that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. Okay? Now, what is that? You know, this could be somebody that's sitting out there, and maybe he hears the word of God, and maybe there might be even a little pull there. Maybe there is. And maybe the things of the world are far too enticing for them to even stop. They just want to continue right on. Or maybe the devil tells them, well, that's okay. That's okay. You got some time. Just a little while longer. The devil loves to say that one. You've got time. You've got time. Don't heed now. Now is not the time. When the Bible says today is a day of salvation. Amen. When you feel the Lord tugging at your heart, don't wait for another time. We don't know if there's a limit to those tugs. One time, Brother Branham tells a story, and you've all heard it, where this one gal was out there, and she was the daughter of a deacon, and Brother Branham says, come, and was pleading to her, this might be your last time. And he confronted her, and she refused to come up. And about a year later, she came, and she was drunk, and she had a bottle with her, and she offered Brother Branham that bottle. And says, here, how about a drink? And he said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, right? Me being a minister of God and you offering me a drink. You know, that is really the height, excuse me, of irreverence. No fear of God whatsoever there, right? And she says, you know, Pastor, or you know, Brother Branham, you know, preacher, he said, you know, when you told me that that was the last time, it might be the last time, he says that was the last time. I haven't had a tug towards the Lord since. And right now I can see my own mother's soul frying in hell like a fritter, like a pancake, and laugh. You know how sad it is to be in that kind of a condition, right? This is hard soil. The seed just lies there, right? Okay? But yet the Lord broadcasted the seed there anyway. Think about that. Why? Maybe some of that hard-hearted soil will get softened up. Maybe something will come along and cause that soil to be broken up. Amen. And cause that seed to go down in there and cause it to bring forth. Amen? Let's keep moving here. Verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while, but when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. You know who I think of when I hear that? I think of Peter. Believe it or not, I think of Peter. How? Peter? Yeah. You know, he says, Lord, he said, well, say, who do you say that I am? He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. He rejoiced at what he saw. He absolutely rejoiced. But when Jesus, he said, some will, you know, turn, you'll be scattered. And Peter told him, he says, not so, Lord, I will follow you. You know, they'll all run, yet I will not run, right? And Jesus told him, before the cock crows, he says, you'll deny me three times. That was the word of God, right? And the word was taken according to the word of God. He was right there. You got to give him some credit. I mean, he actually went there where he was. He was concerned, but then when he was confronted, aren't you one of his disciples? Aren't you he? They denied it. He denied it. And he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly, right? And after he was converted, he was so ashamed of his denial of the Lord that when the time of his crucifixion, he said, I'm not worthy to die as my Lord died. Turn me upside down, right? Crucify me upside down. Amen? He wasn't afraid then. See, and that's the point. He wasn't afraid anymore. Verse 22, he that receiveth seed amongst the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what happens if you don't walk in the Spirit, right? We fulfill the desires of the flesh. And that's just the truth. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the desires of the flesh. So if we act in the flesh, we become unfruitful, letting the world creep in and gain the preeminence instead of mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Right? I think this one here, for me, probably hits home the more because we're always bombarded by the things of the world. There's always things that are pressing. And sometimes I wonder if the Lord isn't putting a test, you know, before our feet. And, you know, maybe we keep failing it. And so the Lord keeps giving that the same test, giving that same test. Lord, when is this going to happen? He says, when you finally follow me in how I say how to address that word, you know. How do you go about it, you know? One thing Brother Don did, I really appreciate when he was working. And he had one of those jobs where, you know, he had to show up every day, right? And he told him, he says, I will work. I will work from A to B. He says, and I will give my whole time during that time. But after that time, he said, I'm not going to work another minute beyond that. Because, and you know, this is the Lord's time. This time isn't, you know, for sale. I will not work extra time doing drawings and figuring all this estimation and so forth and so on. I'll do it during the day. And I believe the Lord honored that. And I believe that, you know, a lot of us could tear a page out of his book there, too, and apply the same thing. You know, don't let God... Let me say this the right way here. Let God spill over into your work, okay? Don't let work spill over into God's area and God's time, right? So bring the Lord with you everywhere. I don't know about you, but it just I'm just getting bolder and bolder. And I talk to people. I don't care if I know them or not, customers or whatever. Always try to make mention of the Lord. Not any way that's awkward. It's very natural. And this is where I stand. This is my hope. This is my trust. I put total trust in the Lord. This is our life. Amen. But the other thing too, you got to realize too, everybody's given 24 hours a day, right? Nobody is given another minute more than the next person. And if you don't cherish it as being precious, neither will anyone else. If you act like your time is, it can be frittered or taken advantage of, they'll glad to take it from you. Okay? But one thing you have to realize is that our time is not our own. And we're bought with a price. Even our time that we have belongs to the Lord. One thing Brother Branham said, he says, if I've done anything, if I've stolen anything, you know, I've stolen his time. And he talked about that. I've stolen his time. But see, time is a precious resource that God gave us. And you know, that's the one thing we've got to give account for is what do we do with his time? Right? And how do we apply his word to the time that he's given to us? Amen? Amen. Amen. Keep focused. Focus on the unseen. Don't look at your failings. That's very key. Brother Branham says, in our mistakes, I made a failure. No, that don't make it. Abraham made failures too. He says, but he couldn't take the church. He can't kill the elected, talking about the devil. He can't take your life because you're part of him. You're the Word. The Word is in you. It's manifesting itself, proving itself. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all the words of God. You believe every one of them and God working through you. See, you're a part of God, which is Christ. And we are taught that he is the Word. And we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And again, God won't throw you away either, right? Because he can't throw himself away. And that's important distinction. No more than Adam could throw Eve away, God can't throw you away because you're part of him. Amen. For we are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't look at your failings. Let's get another thought there. That thought you made a mistake when you found your failure. It's just that you didn't wait long enough. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as an eagle. Wait on God. That's what he's saying. Don't stay there and grovel in your failings. Ah, I blew it again. Don't do that. The Bible says that a righteous man falleth down 7 times and getteth up again. It's not the number of times you fall, it's the number of times you get up. Amen? So you might be preachers sitting out there the same way that thought you made a mistake when you found your failure. That's right. Moses thought that maybe he'd missed his calling. Think about that. But one day when God spoke to him face to face and he heard the word of God, my angel spoke to him. It coincides with the word. When he saw that the voice that spoke to him was the same thing that the word promised, then he had faith and he was certain that he was going down there. He was certain Israel was going to come out from under bondage because God made the promise. It was a scriptural promise, and the voice spoke to Moses and said, I've heard the cries of my people. I've remembered my covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm sending you down there to deliver them. And that's an incredible thing. One time Moses tried to do that, and it failed because he went on his own strength. The next time was different because God sent him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Be focused. Be focused on Him. I'm closing. If you're focused on Him, it doesn't matter what happens. See, you're behind the Word of God. You're as He who built His house upon a rock where the floods came and the winds blew, right? And you stood. Didn't matter how much the waves hit against that house, because it was founded upon a stone, upon the rock. And that rock is Christ Jesus. Amen? The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, for in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Amen. I'm so glad for that. God's word is true, saints. We have to keep our eyes focused on the unseen and everything that the Lord promised He would do. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Lord, I envision a time where you're going to so consume a people with your presence. You're going to fulfill it. And what is it? She's just walking every day, faithfully, step by step. Brother Branham said, don't become fanatical. Don't do anything like that. Just be real humble. Be simple. But by simple faith, applying your word daily, looking to you, Father, what is it you want done? What is it that you would desire? What pleases your heart, Lord? Father, we just desire so much. We love it when you show yourself, when you glorify yourself. We love watching you glorified. We love it, Lord, when you break forth your word and you reveal it to us, Father. It shows us who we are and that we're already perfect. We're already, Lord, we are standing as your unblemished bride of Jesus Christ, without spot, without wrinkle. Why is that? It's because of what you've done. Father, we're so thankful for that. Lord, help us to keep pressing on, keep believing. Just help us to receive that life, Lord, that's coming forth from your word more and more. Help us to let go of those things of the world. And help us, Father God. How is it that we can have these different types of ground? How is it the Bible says that we need to plow? Let me just read it. Break up the fallow ground of our hearts, Lord. Break up the fallow ground, that you may pour righteousness upon it. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up that fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. That's a promise, Lord. Break up that fallow ground, that that word can go in deep. That word can fall into good ground, that we can bring forth 30, 60, and 100. Father, we want to be fruit bearers. It says in John chapter 15 that you are the vine, we are the branches. It's the branches that were ordained to bear fruit. We're to bear fruit, Lord. We're to do the fruit bearing. But we need to abide in you. That is one of the conditions. Help us, Lord, to abide there. Father, we just pray that you just help each one. Pray that you would bless each one, Lord. Help each one just draw ever closer to you. Grant it, Father. And if there be anything else, Lord, that you would reveal it, anything else, Lord, that is between us and you, Father, reveal it, that it can be removed out of the way, that your life, O God, can flow through us. Grant it, Lord. We ask that you would do it. We pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you have a song? No? Amen. Praise the Lord. What's that? All is well. Amen. Okay, let's sing that. All is well. All is well. All is well. I have heard the message, hello, and all is well. There is a place, a perfect rest behind me. So rest, little bride, rest for all is well. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, can we? Amen. All is well. Amen. All is well. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Out there at all? Something that you'd like us to pray for, about? Amen. It's a reminder. Brother Don, did you want to close tonight? Okay, sure. Okay. Now I'll say it, since Sunday is daylight savings. So let's remember spring ahead. So turn your clocks ahead 1 hour. Okay? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Lord is good. Amen? So good. Praise God. Amen. Brother Peter, would you mind closing tonight? There rests for all is well.
Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're just so grateful, Lord, for being in your presence tonight, Lord, just around your word, feasting on your word, Lord. We're so grateful for what you're doing, Lord, in this last day, Father. Just ask, Lord, you'd keep working in us and through us, Lord. Keep opening your word. Lord, we're longing for that day, Lord, to be with you, Father. Lord, giving us those eyes that Enoch had, Lord, just to see you continually, Father. Lord, let the things of this world just fade away. Lord, they'll pass away, but your word will stand forever, Lord. I just pray that your life will be manifested, Lord, through each one of us, Father. Lord, as we go our separate ways now, Lord, we just ask that you would go with us, Father. Your angels would encamp around about us, Lord, and protect each one on the roads, Lord, and until we meet again, Father, that you just keep us, Lord, and keep our minds fixed upon you. We just give you all the praise and glory now. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.